following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday, where we are into the home stretch of the spring sports season. Just about everybody ready to get out of school this week. And it doesn't feel like out of school weather, but this might be a good day for golf. The district golf tournament's going on. It's a little chilly, but hey, could be worse. That's over the next couple of days. You've got state tennis. In fact, the pairings will come out later today. That is this Thursday and Friday. State track is this weekend. Of course, state soccer wraps up today. State baseball still going on. So everything staying real busy. And we are busy as well. We're going to talk state track. Pat McFadden, Kearney girls coach, will join us towards the end of the program today. They have had a very solid season. We'll see how that translates to state. We'll also talk with Greg Sharp. He is the voice of the Huskers, and he'll be in Minneapolis calling some baseball this week. We'll get his take on the Huskers, of course, the host of Sports Nightly as well. 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. You can email us anytime to the Net Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, and you can always tweet us at ESPN1460 and 1550 in the Twitter address at ESPN1460 and 1550. How was your weekend, Jimmy?
Hey, really good. I thought you started the show real well today. I appreciate that. I didn't have much to say early, but I think now I can start and ready to go. What do you think of the race? We got a Triple Crown winner possibly, don't we?
Yeah, looked really good in this race. My predictions, I didn't go back and listen, but pretty close to Tale of Verb. One of those long shots would hit the board. You don't know how the mud in the face affects, but American Pharoah got where it wanted to be and really looked like a good horse. Again, you just don't know when in the Belmont if they'll just be trying to beat him or if it'll be, you know, mano a mano or horse on horse to try and win that. Pharoah looks good. It just seems like the buildup is a little weird here, Jimmy. I mean, with that slow time in the Derby, not a lot of people. It's like if American Pharoah wins, it's like the people in the horse racing industry will be upset because it's not a super horse, or at least it hasn't been billed as one.
I'm going to make this prediction. If he does get beat, he'll have to get caught because I think he will sit third or second or take the lead if he needs to. And then he will go by those horses in front of him. That, I can predict, he will go by anything that's in front of him. But if he goes too fast, you know, he misjudges how fast he needs to go, and then he blows up with about a quarter of a mile to go, something weird might come back and catch him. But I think those other horses that ran second and third were running for second and third, and that's why they got second and third. I think the two other ones were trying to beat him and doing something they couldn't do, and that's, you know, run too fast early, and then you have nothing left, you know, so.
The payouts were kind of funny. As I said, the $1 trifecta in the Kentucky Derby in a field of 18 paid $101. with the favorite winning. An even heavier favorite, same horse, American Pharoah, wins an 8-horse field. And the $1 try is $492.
See, people bet the same things. I mean, they really do. If that's one thing. If you ever go to the track, you will find out that there are tickets galore that are the same type tickets. You know, I mean, that Kentucky Derby had an 8-10-18 in about every trifecta box, whether you went 5 deep, 6 deep, 7 deep, you could go 9 deep. Eventually, you were going to have that in your area. Well, this there weren't many fives on many tickets.
Apparently,
you know what I mean. And so, if you don't have to put a five in there, I'll guarantee you there were a lot of 1, 2, 7, 8 boxes. But anything with the 3, 4, 5, or 6 in there, there weren't going to have many numbers in there. So that was the big payoff.
Well, and as we talked about with Gino, you can't bet that way. You're not going to make any money. You have to have a chance. If you're trying to make money and believe that American Pharoah is going to win the race, you have to put. And as he said, he was a little off because he put Dortmund in there because he had the 1-2 over the 5-7. But if you listen to Gino and you box the 1-2-5-7, hello. Hello, 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 hello. You got a pretty darn good try.
Yeah, and you know, it's zigging and zagging and racing, too, because the pick three was a 2-1-2, and it was like a 7-1 shot over an even money over a favorite. So sometimes you just luck out and you hit that one ticket that, you know, but you got to get a price in there if you're going to make anything pay, and you got to bet what other people don't bet.
James in Grand Island says, hey, fellas, in my opinion, American got a big shot to take all three. We might see it. And there you go. And he says everybody had firing line. That's why the try didn't pay. That's why the try paid so much.
Yeah, well, I think Dortmund and firing line, all those tickets had the same three horses on it. And the novice player won money. If you bet a $1 try the week before for 6 horses, you made 101. Well, this is I'll just bet it again. You know, that thing was going to pay about $12 this year. Yeah. I mean, this race.
Yeah, it was big. Other sports that have come out this morning in the last couple of hours is Nebraska's football schedule is now all set through 2019. Remember that this is the final year that Big Ten teams will have 4 non-conference games because they go to a 9-game conference schedule. And Nebraska in 2017 will open the season against Arkansas State. They did the same in 2009, 2012, and they beat them. It wasn't embarrassing. It was 38-9 and 42-13 in both of those. Arkansas State has played in a bowl game 5 times since making the move to the FBS. So the schedule in 2017 non-conference is Arkansas State at home, at Oregon, Northern Illinois at home. Nebraska, it's unfortunate because a lot of schools fall into this, whatever the relationship is, once they kind of get it going. I mean, we're playing Southern Miss and Wyoming and Arkansas State to fill in around that one big non-conference game is what Nebraska has had over the years. And they still have one big non-conference game this year, but BYU is a little bit more of a name team. It's hard to schedule, but that's why I just wish, Jimmy, they would be able to come to the table and say, okay, here are the smaller schools, the non-BCS schools. They need games, and here are the big boys that need games. Okay, instead of Alabama playing the same team 3 out of 6 years and Nebraska playing the same team 3 out of 6 years, let's just switch it. And that way they'd get a little bit – it's too hard to do that. You've got to go out on your own and find somebody instead of just saying, okay, we're going to, as a committee in the NCAA or whoever, we're going to take care of it. And that way everybody gets a little bit of a different look. You're still going to get that paycheck. You're still going to get the one time. You're not going to get a return trip. Everybody understands that. But after a while, and until Nebraska starts being back in the realm for Big Ten and national championships and BCS bowls, I don't really think it matters who they play. They're going to have to win them all.
Yeah, you're right, though. That is a good point. And I've never thought about that, Doug, but that is a good point. When you talk about some of those teams in a conference that's down in the South, it seems like we play like Louisiana Tech, Southern Mississippi, Arkansas State. You know, we pick up that same group. Now, we did try to play Fresno when Fresno made a little move, you know, and that was 10 years ago. And we did give them a home and away with Fresno, and I think we tried to do that. And then Northern Illinois, we had to cancel a game with them. Remember, we were going to play them, I think,
in
Soldier Field, maybe. Were we going to play them there?
Because it went from the 9 to the 8 to the 9-game conference schedule, and they were a victim of that. So here's kind of what it looks like. You know what we've got this year with BYU, South Alabama, Miami, and Southern Miss. Next year, all three of the games will be home. It's Fresno State, Wyoming, and Oregon. Those are the non-conference games for 2016. Then in 2017, Arkansas State, Oregon, and Northern Illinois. And then in 2018, it is Akron, Colorado, and Troy University, all at home. And unless Colorado gets immensely better, those are three ho-hummers.
Colorado.
But the first conference game that year will be at Michigan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you said Akron? Is that what you said the first game was Akron?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's another one that we haven't played recently, but every once in a while we go, hey, man, hey, Zips. You know, come on, we treat you good. Come on, Lincoln. Come on. Come on. You know. Just think about it. All the teams in the MAC, but it's always Akron that they play. It's not Miami of Ohio. It's not Western Michigan, Central Michigan. Obviously, Ohio's not going to come in while Frank's there, I wouldn't think. A variety of other reasons. Although, let's face it, it would be kind of cool to be able to honor Frank Solich by bringing Ohio in, but then you would hope that you could thump them. So I don't know if that would work or not, but you know, the same schools that you play out of some of these conferences over and over again. But anyway, that fills it out.
I think it was Ball State. Wasn't it Ball State who came here and almost beat Nebraska? Was that the team, Doug? You missed that 47-yard field goal at the gun. But, yeah, you're right. It seems like we do play the same people. And, you know, even we played Minnesota for years where they were in the Big Ten and Nebraska. I'm talking about in the 60s and 70s. I mean, we had a tradition where it was just like a contract back in Minnesota, Nebraska, home and away. And Minnesota was not very competitive at that time.
Again, if you'd like to be a part of the show, tweet us, call us, email us, and coming up, we'll talk with the voice of the Huskers a little bit later on in Craig Sharp and Pat McFadden. Want to cover some of the other Kearney High girls track coach. NHL playoffs tonight. Tampa Bay's at the Rangers. Rangers are up 1-0. Anaheim won the first game yesterday from Chicago. And the NBA finals are set. We get a little time off there. It's Cleveland at Atlanta, Houston at Golden State. I get a sick pit in my stomach because the Clippers seem to be the best team. And you just knew when they blew it in the fourth quarter of Game 6, it wasn't going to happen yesterday. I mean, that Thursday night, bleh, 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 bleh.
Yeah, that momentum changed real quick. And then not only that, you didn't have the game at home. You know, you have to travel, which really made a difference. So I agree with you. Yeah, it was kind of it was a tough deal. But there was a time when you could have, 3-1, you could have played Houston to win that series and got a good prize.
I suppose so. That's another thing. It's one of those that makes me want to grab my hair for about a week here, the ESPN. Our statistics say that when the series is 2-2, the winner of Game 5 wins. Well, no crap. Good Lord, you don't have to be a math major or an actuary to figure out that the team that's up 3-1 or 3-2 and 2-1, of course they're going to win more often than not. I don't need to know that. Come on. Anyway.
I agree. We need an actuary in here. It'd be nice to have one, though, just in case we get off a little bit. Hey, the Florida Marlins hired a new baseball coach. Did you see that? They're 16-22. They were a team that, there's basically 6 or 8 teams, Doug, that people talked about winning the World Series. They were one of the 6 or 8 teams. The Marlins were this year. They started out 16-22. They hire a new manager. And were you surprised at the hire?
Well, I don't know anything about it. But when you see it, it's so different and so out there. It's everybody's going to make fun of it and scratch their heads. For the folks that don't know, they fired their manager and Mike Redmond. He'd been there 2 years plus what they've done this season through the 38 games, and they bring in Dan Jennings, who of course is an awesome writer, columnist, but. He is the general manager. Now, I will throw this out. He's the general manager, and he's only been there since September of 2013. He'd been there shorter time than their actual manager. He has one type of coaching experience, and that was in high school. And there's nothing to say that the guy can't do it. It's just so strange that they had to know that they were going to get immediate negative feedback from this. But I will say, and without having the big research department here, I'm waiting for the first people to say it worked for the Spurs, because that's where Greg Popovich was. He was in the office, And they brought him down and turned things around. On a little bit different scale, he wasn't named the manager, but George Brett was brought down there for about a summer to help the Royals out, putting his uniform on and being in the practices and being in the dugout to try and get them going with their hitting because they were struggling so bad. So it's not totally unprecedented, but it is strange and different. And in this day and age of prima donnas and highly paid athletes, will the guys in the clubhouse take to him? I mean, it's again, if this is a guy that had been there with a somewhat successful tenure over, say, 10 years, then you go, okay, he hadn't even been there 2 years. And he all of a sudden is going to be putting on a Major League Baseball uniform? I mean, come on. They're just going to make fun of him. And if it does, I mean, if they don't get red hot immediately, it's just way too easy to poke at him.
Yeah, and they got hot once this year. You guys might have to look this up because I think they won like 10 out of 11 or 12 out of 13. I think they got hot one time. I mean, so that means, you know, the rest of the season they were 5 and about, you know, 16, you know. So they really struggled in there other than that one streak. So, you know, I know one thing. They got a couple guys that can hit it a long ways.
Well, they... They are 6 games back. The Mets lead their division, and at 22-16, the Nationals a half game back. The Braves 3.5, a game below 500. The Marlins 6 back, and Philadelphia 6.5 back. So that's where you're sitting right now, playing at a 421 clip. Their record is one of the worst in the National League, but there's about 6 teams worse than them. So maybe it sparks them, and there's all this data up there. The last time the Marlins fired a manager, it was almost this exact point of in season. They won the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, let's talk about our Royals for a second, Doug. You know, I mean, they started off.
Do you want to talk about the Royals, Jimmy, or do you want to talk about beating the Yankees?
Let's talk about beating the Yankees. Okay. Let's don't even talk about the Royals. Forget about
it.
Let's just
great.
Talk about it's beating the Yankees. How many runs did the Yankees score yesterday, Doug?
0.
How many?
0.
Same as you and me.
0.
They got 0.
0. Now, we didn't sweep them. We now, took they, 2 or 3. We thumped them twice, and then they beat us on Saturday.
Well, did they get to finish that game on Friday? Was that a finished game, or do they have a 10-run rule in Major League Baseball? Because I think they went by 10-run rule.
Jimmy bringing it. I love it. I love it. Anytime the Yankees can get thumped, it's awesome. Anytime they can get thumped, it's awesome. And the Royals now have an off day. They start playing the Interleague. Cincinnati comes in for 2 games, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the Cardinals come in for a big Memorial Weekend series. That's what it's about. Well done, Major League Baseball. You finally got one right. It's Memorial Weekend. It's family weekend. It's packed the park. Don't bring in the Brewers. Don't bring in the Miami. Don't bring in somebody that nobody has any connection with your team. That this is the weekend for the White Sox, Cubs, the or even if it was the Cardinals, Cubs. But in this case, it's the Royals and the Cardinals. You know, play that interleague this weekend, or play, you know, Yankees, Mets, A's, Giants, whatever the case may be. It's rivalry weekend. That's the time of the year. You don't really do it over the 4th of July unless the 4th of July falls on a week. I mean, do it. You can do that. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. It doesn't matter who's playing at home. Just bring in the other team. So.
I think Major League Baseball tried a little bit, didn't they?
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope that wasn't just dumbass luck.
Right. Hey, we looked up the Marlins, and the Marlins did win 9 out of 10, so it wasn't quite as good as I thought. I thought they maybe won 11 out of 12, but they won 9 out of 10 and 5 in a row, but that was the only streak they had where they even got hot at all.
Big Ten Baseball Tournament will get going. We're going to talk about that with Greg Sharp here in a moment. The Huskers in Illinois Wednesday at 5 o'clock. You have to figure Illinois is going to throw Kevin Duchesne. And in some ways, with Nebraska getting 3 runs off of him on Friday or Thursday, maybe a spark of confidence. But the Huskers seem to fight. It's just unfortunate that they had a 10-9 baseball game. You know, they finally got something going, but it still wasn't good enough. Huskers softball competed well, but could not advance on out of the regionals. LSU actually came all the way back and won 2 games yesterday after beating the Huskers just to stay alive Saturday night, 3-2 in 10 innings. I know where you're going to be tonight. It's going to be just like opening day weather in the majors. It'll be a little chilly, but it's Kearney and Hastings to open the American Legion baseball season, 5:30 and 8. The seniors game will be on 12:30 KHAS. Grand Island Baseball will play Papillion La Vista in the elimination game in Omaha this afternoon at 4. And then we have the state soccer boys finals tonight. It will be Omaha Scut and Columbus SCOTUS in the B final at 5:30. Creighton Prep and Millard West in the A final at 8. SCOTUS ended Lexington season on Saturday in the semifinals with a 3-1 victory. A lot more to talk about. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and be back with Greg Sharp of the Husker Sports Network after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with a high of around 63. North winds, meanwhile, stay at about 10 to 20. Then with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head down to 41. Then rain develops Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, of course, has now their used car superstore open. All of their dealerships right there on South 2nd Avenue. If you're unfamiliar with the new used car superstore, it's in the old Killian Motors building. So I guess that would be north of the northernmost of the three car lots there. But with, of course, the expansion and the great used new car lot there, they are also looking for more folks to join the Midway team. They're especially in need of sales folks, product specialists, maybe a five-day work week with full benefit package. You can find out a lot about it on their MidwayCareers.com website, MidwayCareers.com. And you can find out what jobs are open, kind of what it requires, a little background on all of that. Then if you're interested, you can contact Midway or fill out the form, and they'll contact you. And, hey, it might be the new career or something that, depending on the job, you can do over the summer and into the fall. You're Midway Auto Dealers, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac. District golf going on today, some of it tomorrow. Kearney's playing at Fremont. Grand Island's at the Elks Country Club in Columbus. The B, District 3 is at Southern Hills in Hastings. District 4 is at Hillside in Sydney. The District 2 and D is at Indian Head in Grand Island. And Arrowhead Meadows in Curtis is hosting the D4. This is a debate that, again, as a golf fan, again, it just if you're not a golfer, it doesn't matter. But I just think, again, I would hope that at some point we can get the kids on the best courses because they are, in some cases, playing better courses. And by better, I mean they're tougher. That's what the stats say. That's the slope. All the folks, I mean, there is a formula for this. They're playing tougher district courses than they are state courses, which I don't think they should. And every course, if you're playing districts, it's got to be an 18-hole course. Come on, people. It's a long day. If it's a 9-hole course, you're waiting around. You need to have continuous, let's get out and play. If you're playing on a district, it needs to be an 18-hole course. My opinion, if anybody agrees or disagrees, they can always get a hold of us here at the show, as we always say, Dent Popper inbox, tweet us, call us. But just a couple of the things out there that I think would make, you're always looking for the best experience is what they tell us, Jimmy, for these athletes. And this is one of the cases where it's not the case. I mean, they play tennis at great facilities. Look where they're playing soccer, probably the best facility in the state to play soccer. I mean, the track meet is at an outstanding facility. They're playing football at Memorial Stadium. You know, virtually everything I can think of is at a very, very nice spot, except in this case.
You know, I think, Doug, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think, too, that things have changed. Like we talked about in football, they're playing at Memorial Stadium. We used to play these at the home field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it was a those towns did everything they could to make it the best they could. I mean,
well, it was awesome if you were the home team.
Yeah, you bringing in rodeo grounds, you know, everything you got from your rodeo in some of these small towns. And I agree that in when I was coaching at Ravana, we went to Alliance and played our district. But what a great course it was. And it was, Doug, it was 18 holes. You know what I mean? We played an 18-hole course. It was a long way to drive, but the NSAA made a big effort to try to get us into a 18-hole course. We were playing a couple of those courses. And, you know, Southern Hills, I mean, in the last 15 years, used to be a 9-hole course, you know, in Hastings, and then they added their new 9. So talk about a, you know, hey, these 9 holes are entirely different than these 9, but it's 18 holes. So there's more courses now that do have that opportunity. And in the East, you know, they have a lot of courses that have 27 holes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you can, you know, you can pick, hey, play these 18, you know, you got a whole separate deal. But you're right about the slope. And, yeah, you shoot a 75 at Gothenburg. And you can and you go, hey, and you shoot a 75 at the Gibbon Country Club. They're a little different scores.
Well, yeah, and par's different. Yeah. The whole, and again, you're trying to get prepared for state and vice versa. So we'll see how it all plays out. Nebraska Danger fell to Sioux Falls 53-40 on Saturday, just their second loss of the year. Colorado, who had kind of been one of their rivals here, that first round playoff opposition. Now they get them the next 2 weeks. Colorado has slid a little bit this year, but I suppose if that's actually where the rivalry is, Colorado could maybe have a chance to do something here with the Danger.
Yeah, I think I reffed that game last year and Colorado won, Doug. And Colorado is a team that plays in and out all year long. I mean, the Danger have been kind of consistent. I mean, they had that one game where they won in overtime, which they almost got upset at home. But they've been a little consistent compared to Colorado. But Colorado at times can play pretty well.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend with the Rockies snapping their 11-game losing streak, how long until they won again? Woohoo! This weekend they got one. And that was 62%. Let's ask you today, what was the best win of the weekend? We'll give you three choices. Rory McIlroy getting his 11th PGA Tour win at the Wells Fargo, the Rockets taking Game 7 over the Clippers, or American Pharoah in the Preakness. What was the best win of the weekend? Vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Which one would you take, Jimmy?
Oh, I suppose American Pharoah, just because I want a Triple Crown winner, I guess. I've seen, it's been a while. 78 was the last one we've had, and we've had a couple really good opportunities, and you know, like you said, Doug, the main thing is we've had to scratch a horse even out of that. We got a horse that got injured. I mean, we've had some things that just weren't correct about this Triple Crown. We've had some big upsets, too, on the deal. So I guess I'd pick them, but all of them were kind of nice. I mean, Houston coming back and beating the Clippers. Who would have thought that after they got demolished twice by like 30 points?
The best win of the weekend was Houston's Game 6 win.
Yes,
over the Clippers,
yes.
Not Game 7. Rory McIlroy, what he did on Saturday. That's the thing about golf. You got to have the other three consistent rounds, but you put something up like that, more times than not, you're going to knock it out of the park. So the best win of the weekend is American Pharoah. The most impressive win of the weekend is the Rockets in Game 6. If you are not giving me that choice, then I probably go with Rory McIlroy, because that's pretty darn impressive. When you can win over all those pros by 7 shots, it's like Pharoah winning by 7-10 links in the race. So vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Nebraska.
Before we go, though, how many runs did the Yankees score on Sunday against the Royals? How many runs was that again?
I'm still waiting.
They haven't.
They hadn't scored after 9 innings, and I don't think they let them play anymore, but they still haven't scored. They haven't scored in 24 hours.
There you go. It's going to be longer.
That is so awesome. I think there's probably a little Royals blood in Greg Sharp, the host of Sports Nightly and the voice of the Huskers, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan. Greg, welcome back to the show. How you been, man?
Boys, I'm always good. Good to hear your voices.
Well, it's great to have you on, and I kind of joked with you a little bit to see if you were ready for summer vacation, because it looks like it might come a little too soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case, and man, how shocking is that? I mean, we've sat here in the month of March, and you were dreaming about Husker baseball maybe hosting a regional and going off from there, and this thing's really it's been a disappointing 6 weeks for Nebraska baseball, but this is a team that's had some fun at Big Ten tournaments the last 2 years, and maybe there's some magic left in this team here if we get ready to go to Minneapolis in a couple days.
Greg, as we've talked with different analysts and different coaches, especially here over the last month where things just haven't been going the Huskers' way, guys that have been there day in and day out, what would you say has went wrong during the last month?
Well, I think it's kind of gone through different phases. I think there was a phase where this team offensively couldn't get big hits, couldn't string together hits, and meanwhile the pitching was good and the defense was good. Well, then we had a weekend against Purdue where we didn't pitch it very well, and then against Illinois the last couple of days we didn't play very good defense. So it's kind of where the bats started to actually swing it pretty good in Illinois the last couple of days, but the defense completely abandoned this team when Kyle Kubot started on Friday, and they commit 4 errors. Could have been about 6 errors in that game. And so that was pretty uncharacteristic of this team. So it's kind of gone through different phases. But I think the offense really hit the skids there about the middle part of April. And for about 3 weeks, they really scuffled at the plate. I was encouraged, though, by what they did at Champaign. And if they can go score some runs in Minneapolis, they're going to give themselves a chance to maybe make a dent up there.
Yeah, hey, that's a great point about the offense and getting big hits, because when they were winning some games in midweek, they were getting some big hits when they were beating like Kansas State 7-6 or Creighton 7-6, and they did catch some breaks there early. We talked about it on the show that, hey, this team could be vulnerable. Yeah, because they were winning some of these games just by a run and kind of getting some big breaks. They're getting good pitching when they needed it, and then they were getting beaten to people, you know, and getting runs when they needed it too. And probably, in baseball, which you got to have some pitching defense to keep you in these games, and they kind of lost that for a little bit. Your thoughts?
No, that's right. I think, you know, the pitching was so strong. I think they were even mid-April, they were still pitching to a 2.6 ERA, which is just remarkable. But even now, as the regular season's come to close, Nebraska still has an ERA in the top 20 in the country, and their defense has been really good. You know, going back to the thing about big hits, the first 3 weeks of the season, Nebraska had played, I think, 13 games at that point. Blake Headley was hitting a little over 800 with runners in scoring position. Well, now Blake Headley, now we finished playing Big Ten games, 23 Big Ten games. Blake Headley hit .212 in Big Ten games. Well, that's hard. I mean, that's hard because he's a 3-4 hitter in your lineup. That's hard when your 3-4 guy is just barely getting over .200. Ben Miller in Big Ten games, just hitting over .200. That's hard. Those two guys need to be a big factor for this lineup. They both had better swings in Champaign. But, you know, yeah, the pitching, I think, has been good enough for Nebraska to be a contender to win the Big Ten this year and certainly be in the NCAA tournament. But it's just been the lack of offense over the last month.
Well, they'll start with Illinois again. What you touched on a little bit, and we're talking with Greg Sharp, voice of the Huskers and host of Sports Nightly. They took a while. They did get to Kevin Duchesne in the seventh, and I assume that we'll see, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't we expect to see what we saw Thursday again on Wednesday afternoon?
That's what I think I'm expecting. Now, that there's press conferences tomorrow in Minneapolis where both coaches will reveal their cards. But I think from a Nebraska standpoint, absolutely, they're going to go with Chan Sinclair, and I would expect Illinois to do the same thing. Illinois, their motivation will be interesting to see what they do, because they've wrapped up, they won the regular season title. They are going to be a host. They know they're going to have a regional back in Champaign. And most of the national experts have said over the last 48 hours that it doesn't really matter what Illinois does in Minneapolis. They're going to be a top eight national seed. So that means they don't have to leave Champaign to get to Omaha, and that they can have the regional and the super regional in Champaign. So what's their motivation? Obviously, they have pride. They want to go win a tournament title. But some teams will hit that and know all that. The kids know. They know where they stand. So will they go up there with a lot of fire in their belly? My guess is they probably will. So it'll be tough for Nebraska. But if you're Nebraska, you're sitting there going, we're due to beat these guys. We're also due to snap their 25-game winning streak, which is, or 26, I guess it is now. All those factors kind of favor Nebraska's way. They're due to beat Illinois, and Illinois is due to lose baseball games. So if you're Nebraska, you just go with that theory as you step to the plate on Wednesday, early evening on Wednesday.
Sometimes the mood's not there, Greg, and you've been there every day. How would you characterize the mood of the team? I mean, do they want – obviously the answer is, well, yeah, they want to win. I mean, and as the voice of the Huskers, you're not going to tell me no, but what's that mood of that team?
It was pretty down a week or so ago. I felt like in Champaign there was a little bit more pep in their step. But, boy, it was a team going through the motions, I thought, in the last home series against Purdue. That's upsetting, that's disappointing, and it scalded the head coach. He could not believe that on the final home game, on the senior day, that there just was a flatness to the team. Now, you play 55, 56 regular season games, you're going to go through some valleys like that. But when you have to win and your backs were kind of against the wall, that team didn't have it. I thought there was a little bit more fire in their belly the last couple of days in Champaign. Hopefully getting to Minneapolis. They spent a lot of time together because they've made this whole trip on the bus. They left Lincoln last Tuesday, bus to Champaign. They bus to Chicago after the game on Saturday. Went and saw a Cubs game yesterday, then bust on to Minneapolis last night. So they've been around each other a lot. They've been able to talk and maybe figure some things out amongst themselves. So you just hope that there's kind of a rejuvenation. It's kind of a fresh start. Everybody's got equal chance to win this tournament. Nobody's playing at home. So you got to hope that there's one more dig left in this team to go reach in deep and pull something out.
Well, I would think, you know, right after the Purdue series, I think you made a great comment. Right after that, they kind of lost some fire. And they were ready to play baseball. They were motivated to take on a team that had won 23 games in a row. And they fought. I mean, they had one inning there where Illinois got a bunch of runs. You know, they just kept hitting home run after, you know. But I think you made a great point. And I think this team is a type of team that can look to a tournament to go, hey, we got to win it. Let's prove we deserve it. And maybe they're playing the right team. You might as well beat Illinois and get some publicity for beating them than somebody else in that tournament. So I like your thoughts.
Well, you go and you beat the number one seed right away, and all of a sudden you become the number one seed in a lot of ways. I mean, you've knocked the king out, given them their first loss, and you've kind of put yourself into a really good position. So, I think they feel like they've seen Duchesne. Headley hit a three-run home run off of him. They had opportunities to score other times in the game. So they're not going to be afraid of Illinois when they get into that game on Wednesday. And tournament play is just a little different. I mean, it's just a different mindset. And, again, I think Coach Erstad will go to the whip and say, all right, boys, wipe out what's happened the last month. Doesn't matter. Everybody's 0-0 as we step on the field here in Minneapolis. There's only eight teams here. We have as good a chance to win this thing as anybody here. And I think there's some truth to that. Nebraska, and you guys mentioned the Kansas State wins over the last couple of weeks. Well, those are midweek games. Those are midweek pitching. Nebraska went 12-1 this year in midweek games. That's phenomenal. It's one of the best midweek records in the country. And that's because Nebraska's got some depth in the pitching staff probably as much as or more than anybody that's going to be in this tournament. And the longer this thing goes and the longer the Huskers can hang in there, that depth will come back to help them a lot.
Greg Sharp with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking about the Husker baseball team. We've talked about the depth. If you get past game one, you have to feel comfortable, as Greg's being alluded to. But big picture, Greg, now that the conference season is over, are we as surprised at how really strong the Big Ten ended up being this year? Let's face it, Maryland and Nebraska, who were the 1 and 2 preseason, are the 4 and 8 seeds. And, you know, what Illinois is doing is phenomenal. Iowa found a way to put it together. Ohio State was red hot when Nebraska played him, has fallen off a little bit. But Michigan, who we handled early, they're the number 3 seed. Nobody could have predicted these would be the seeds at the beginning of the year.
No, they couldn't. I mean, I think everybody felt like Illinois was going to be really good. But this good? Are you kidding me? I mean, to go 22-1 in the league, 21-1 in the league, it ain't going to rain out the other day, but 21-1 in the league, that's just crazy that they were able to do that. It's a senior and veteran-dominated league. I mean, we talked about it a lot over the weekend broadcast with Illinois. They had 11 seniors they honored on Saturday. They have a couple of draft-eligible juniors that are going to be gone, Duchesne being one of those. Illinois is going to look completely different next year. Iowa's got a lot of seniors and a lot of draft-eligible juniors, so they're going to be gone. But we had a feeling all winter this was going to be the best the Big Ten has been in baseball. We've been a part of the league. And I would argue it might be the best Big Ten in baseball ever. I mean, for the depth up and down the line. And you're talking about Nebraska, who still has an RPI in the top 40, is the 8th seed in this tournament. You look at our old conference, the Big 12, they only have 2 teams in the top 7 in the RPI. So it's a much better and deeper league than the Big 12 conference, which is just blowing most people around the country away. It's really become a good league. Now, can they sustain it year after year? I don't know, because a lot of teams, Illinois being one of them, are going to get decimated with losses to their roster. How do they replenish that? That'll be interesting to see next spring.
Well, Nebraska didn't have the love that some of the teams had in their competition. We talked about Illinois didn't play a couple of the teams in the top 3. I think 3 of the top 5 teams they didn't play, and then you count them. But Nebraska, they had to play Illinois. They had to play Iowa. They had to play Michigan. They had to play Maryland. So you've seen them all, Greg. Outside, if we're going to give Illinois the best, who else has really, really impressed you out of the Big Ten?
Well, when we played Iowa, I thought they were really – really solid, and yet they go lose 2 out of 3 at Rutgers this past weekend. Ohio State pitched it great when they were at Haymarket Park a few weeks ago, and like you said, they're leaking big-time oil coming down the stretch. Right, Maryland, when we saw them, just was bashing the ball all over the ballpark, and all of a sudden they can't score runs, and they really come unplugged here in the last couple of weeks. So a lot of teams are on fumes coming into this tournament, so I just think it's the one that can kind of ignite it a little bit, gets it going. One other point about Illinois, and I don't want this to sound sour, because they deserve all the accolades they're getting. But you play 8 league series, so you get 4 at home, 4 on the road. One of their road series was to be at Northwestern. Well, Northwestern's field wasn't ready, so that series got shifted to Champaign. So they played 5 of the 8 series at home this year. And you're right, they didn't have to play Maryland. They didn't have to play Iowa. So they missed a couple of the real, and I don't think they played Michigan either. So they missed a couple of the really good teams in the league. That's why when these guys across the country are trying to put together the bracket for the NCAA tournament, you just can't look at a league standings and go, well, Nebraska's 8, so they're obviously lousy. Well, no, who do they play compared to some teams ahead of them? And that's why if Nebraska gets hot and can go make some noise in this tournament, it's still going to be interesting to flip on that selection show a week from today and see if the Huskers make it. But they got to go win some games in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and one thing, too, Nebraska did play a much tougher schedule early in the season, too, in February when they took on some teams. You know, I think maybe the Big Ten, and this is my comment, if you disagree, go ahead. My comment, the Big Ten just hasn't done well enough. You know, Indiana last year played really well in the NCAA, but, you know, the Miami of Florida's, the teams like that, LSU, they always do well in the College World Series, and we just haven't had that big-time the Big Ten team do anything great for a long period of time, and I think that maybe hurts our league, because I think our league's one of the best.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, Indiana was the first team to get to Omaha in almost 30 years. So, yeah, the league's got – and you got to do some damage in the tournament. And with Illinois hosting, and I think Iowa's capable of making some noise at a regional, you've got to go beat some people. when you get in the NCAA tournament. Darren Erstad, Nebraska, has really influenced this league. We came in this league 4 years ago. A lot of teams weren't scheduling very well in the non-conference, so their RPIs weren't any good. And Darren says, you've got to make your RPI good in the non-conference. You've got to go play some people. But a lot of these teams and coaches and programs are just like, well, we just need to get wins. We don't care if we got a good RPI. We just want our record to look good at the end of the year. And, you know, we don't want anybody to look at our program, maybe fire us. We don't want to get fired, so we got to go win games. We got to play a bunch of a poor competition. And Darren's like, no, if you want this league to get better, you got to go play good people in late February and early March. And then when you get to the league, you'll see it'll help all of us. And that philosophy has been adopted around the league. I'm proud of the conference because they've done a good job of stepping up their scheduling and going and playing good people. And now they got their teams good enough where they can go on the road and beat some people on the road and in early in the season. And Nebraska has kind of led the way on that front.
And as I pointed out last week, amazing. And when we talked with Coach Hartlib on the show last week, that in 2011, Illinois was the only team out of the Big Ten to make the tournament, and they got pigeonholed in a four hole where you never see a BCS school get a four seed. It's always the small school, some of them that you've never heard of, and now anywhere from four to six teams could be playing in the postseason. Greg, we can't have a whole segment to not ask you anything about football. We've got the schedule now. We got Arkansas State coming in. We got some TV times. Coach Riley is taking just a week or two here that we don't hear a whole lot from them, but your thoughts on where they were coming out of spring ball and just the atmosphere right now.
Well, I'm amazed it's taking this long to get to football. I wouldn't come back on if you guys didn't bring up football at least once this thing. You know, it was an interesting spring because it was so much about teaching and learning and on both sides. I mean, this coaching staff didn't know this team. When they got hired in December, they were hitting the ground running on recruiting for the next 60 days. They didn't know names of guys. And I think that's why Coach Riley took the really unusual and I think effective track of let's break this team up into two parts and so that we can really delve into this and see what we have. And I think they were pleasantly surprised at the talent level that they have. I've heard comments from some of these guys who told people back in Corvallis that we believe at Nebraska, we have the same kind of talent that we faced it when we played like USC in the Pac-12 conference. We know that. We just played them in the bowl game and should have won that game. So I think they're pleased with the talent. They like the attitude of the kids. They like the work ethic of the guys in the program. So they're very happy with what they've seen. Now, where's the adjustment period? I don't think we'll know until we start playing for real on September the 5th against BYU where they are on trying to learn new schemes and implement the new schemes. August will be vital to this program. They've got to be good in August, and they've got to try to stay healthy in August so that they can really learn what these coaches want them to do. But it's going to be a fun fall around Lincoln. You're right. You start getting really juiced up. You start seeing kickoff times and start times. And, yeah, the announcement today of Arkansas State. But, you know, I think we're 109 days away from college football. Not that I'm counting, but, you know, it'll be here before we know it.
Well, because I assume you get the question even more than I do about, well, what do you think Nebraska's record's going to be this year? I'll just put it this way to you, because there seems to be two schools of thoughts, and not a whole lot of folks are believing that 9-3 or 9-4 are there. So as we said today, just in your opinion, is Nebraska closer to a 6-6 team or an 11-1 team?
Oh, I don't think there's any question it's 11-1. I mean, this is a football team that, you know, you look back last year, yep, we lost four football games. We lost to USC when we stalled out on their 30-yard line late and had them on their heels. We lost to Minnesota when Jordan Westerkamp couldn't grip a ball in the end zone. We lost in Michigan State when Alonzo Moore couldn't quite hang on to one in the back of the end zone or in the corner of the end zone. And yet we got thumped by Wisconsin. So there's three losses that a play here or there, we win all three of those. That's how close Nebraska is to being a part of the national discussion. All right, so now you look at the schedule. How difficult is the schedule? Yep, the opener's tough with BYU, but it's at home. Come on, that's a game Nebraska needs to win. Miami, yeah, they're good, but they're not Miami of the 90s. This is Miami that went 7-6 last year. So that's not a game that shouldn't be winnable for Nebraska. Then you get into the conference. Which team is absolutely a no-win game for Nebraska? There isn't one. Michigan State's going to be really good, but it's in Lincoln. So absolutely, Nebraska is much closer to 11-1 than a 6-6. And I think it's going to be a fun fall. I think it always is with Husker football. We've got good football players. We got a good coaching staff. We just need everything to gel together, and it could be a special fall in Lincoln.
Man, I cannot believe how positive you are on this, because, I mean, I would love to have you around as one of my assistant coaches and go out and tell everybody that, because, boy, this just sounds good. You know, what I was thinking was, I'm just glad McNeese State didn't score a touchdown there when they had a penalty when they went up 7, and then they had to kick the field goal, and then Amir Abdullah, who won't be playing next year, has to win that game for us. So, you know, when I look at that schedule a little bit, I think, hey, we had a couple games, you know, like the Miami of Florida and the McNeese State thing, that could have got away from us too. So I thought our record was about fair. I thought 9 wins was about what Nebraska deserved. But I do like your thinking about that 11-1, and that's a good way to think.
I'll tell you what, that's going to keep the fans. That sends them into the summer, Greg.
Yes, it does.
You did it perfect.
Well, boys, it's always fun. I talked about this a lot last year, that, you know, the difference between 11-1 and 7-5 can be pretty narrow at times, because it's 5 or 6 plays a year make the difference in about 4 or 5 games. When you're an elite program and at the upper echelon of college football, which Nebraska certainly is, and that's the right. I mean, yeah, McNeese State had a penalty. They could have gone up 4 instead of being tied. But Miami, didn't Nebraska win that by 2 touchdowns? I mean, I'm not sure how that was all that. I mean, Nebraska was in control of that game most of the way. I'm not sure that ever felt like that was going to be a loss. But it'll be tough this year. Brad Kaye, their quarterback's really good. He's now a sophomore. But they got hit hard by the draft, too. They lost a handful of really good players to the draft as well. So it'll be fun.
Well, you'll hear him on Sports Nightly tonight and every night on 1230 KHAS at 6 o'clock, and Husker Baseball, 5 o'clock go time on Wednesday. And, Greg, hopefully you're working on Saturday and Sunday.
I would love to. I don't want to come back quick. I want to be up there a while.
Thanks for the extended chat today, Greg. Have a great summer. We'll talk soon.
You bet, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Greg Sharp, voice of the Huskers here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up, we're going to talk a little state track here with Pat McFadden. He is the head coach of our girls team at Kearney High. We'll do that right after this.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At 3 times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty wants to congratulate our class of 2015 scholarship award winners, Renee Ingersoll, Zach Schmidt, and Dylan Wells. We're proud of all of your accomplishments and wish you the best of luck.
NP Realty. Developing dreams.
At Copycat Printing, we do more than copy and print. We help our customers communicate. Today, the need for effective design is stronger than ever.
With the experience from our design team, let us help you refresh your look. Whether it's a new design or enhancing your current vision, we provide personalized designs for any project in mind.
Design isn't just a job, it's our passion.
Contact the design team at Copycat Printing, 2100 Avenue A, visit KearneyCopycat.com, or like them on Facebook. Copycat Printing, the better idea.
The 2015 Cattlemen's Ball of Nebraska is coming June 5th and 6th, where the Redbird Bridge crosses the beautiful Niobrara River, 4 miles south of Lynch, Nebraska. This year, we're going to outlaw cancer with 2 days of fun, auctions, and entertainment. Saturday night, June 6th, you'll get not one, not two, but 3 great entertainers under 110. Aaron Tippin, Sammy Kershaw, and Daryl Worley will have you singing and dancing on the river. Plus all the fun and events both Friday and Saturday. Fly the Niobrara River on the Husker helicopter. Be amazed at the trick shooting of the Turkey Creek Regulators and experience a traditional powwow from the Santee Singers and Dancers. Plus live and silent auctions, an art show, wine tasting, shopping, local entertainment, great food, and it's at the Redbird Ranch, 4 miles south of Lynch, Nebraska on the Niobrara River, where you'll see an unparalleled view of Nebraska you never knew existed. Tickets are on sale now at cattlemansball.com. That's cattlemansball.com. Get your tickets today. This will sell out.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, I stopped by the chicken coop last night. There's a few duck wings out there. A few people talking about, hey, the duck wings are good. And if you have not tried the duck wings yet, or if you like them, try them again at the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. The Chicken Coop Bar and Grill is the best of both worlds. And not only do they have Maple Leaf farm-raised ducks that you can put all of your favorite sauces on. You've tried them with the boneless and chicken wings all these years. Now you can try the duck wings. Of course, there's great lunch specials today. It's the steak sandwich with your side. So good that you can get it at the Chicken Coop on Monday. Of course, is Coop Koozie Night. You can buy your Coop Koozie for $5, or if you've already done that, bring it back. Put 12-ounce cold ones in there throughout the evening for only a dollar and watch your favorite sporting events, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NHL tonight, or anytime. They've got it there for you at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday as we will continue to preview the state track meet throughout the week. The Kearney girls have really done a good job. Depth has been a key. They set a team record, a scoring record in the GNAC. They put up 183 points at districts last week. Coach Pat McFadden joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Pat, congratulations to you and the gals on a great season so far.
Well, thank you very much. It has been an exceptional season for the girls this year. They've really, as you stated, they've got great depth and just as we've proven throughout the whole season, we're hard to beat.
Pat, I have to ask you, with all that the boys have done for three decades here, every once in a while the girls got to jump up and down and go, hey, we're doing okay over here too. And you guys have actually maybe gotten a little bit more, I'm not going to say the better of the boys because that's not the way to be looking at it, but you guys have been there and getting a little bit of that attention this year.
Well, I'd be lying to you if I haven't had that conversation with more than a few people about just being noticed and in terms of the comparison to what has been certainly an outstanding boys program. You know, I started out coaching with the boys for 18 years and moved over to the girls when my girls were getting to about the age. I had twin daughters and decided to better put my mouth where my money is, or the money where my mouth is, I guess, in terms of coaching. And when they came over to the high school, I wanted to make that transition with them and have been very, very blessed in terms of being able to coach the girls team here for the last 9 years.
Yeah, Coach Jim Langer here. One thing, too, I coach track, and when I even had some of my better teams, there were about six events that we weren't very good in, so I wouldn't even, I mean, I'd watch them and kind of hope the other people didn't score, you know, where I needed them. But this year, it looks to me like about every event you're in, somebody's doing something well. Talk a little bit about that depth and all the events you're good in.
Yeah, we actually qualify girls in 15 of the 17 events, which is, yeah, that's just a pinch me if this is real. You know, they really covered all events, and in fact, I think throughout the whole season we've scored in every event, in every meet that we've competed in, and that's certainly a testament to these girls in terms of, you know, sometimes you go into a track season and you're not sure exactly what events you're going to be good at, and there's some experimentation that goes on, and certainly coaches are always observing and making sure that we find that event for those athletes, and that's happened this year. We've had some girls make some transitions, and maybe we're a 200, 400 runner and moved up to the 800, and that's made, you know, huge benefits for the team overall. And yeah, we've been certainly just very blessed in terms of having, we had 102 girls go out for track, and when you have those kind of numbers, you're certainly have a few people to put into different areas, and And that's the way it's been at Kearney High. And that's, I wouldn't say that's an exception to the rule this year. We've had a lot of talented athletes and a lot of very good teams throughout the course of Kearney High girls track and field. We like to think we're kind of the flagship for Kearney High girls sports here. So it's been a tremendous tradition to be a part of.
We're talking with Pat McFadden, Kearney Girls Track Coach. State meet gets underway. ANC has the first session on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We talk about the depth, but when we look at the updated state charts this morning, Pat, it's not like there's a bunch of Bearcats with the best time, which isn't necessary or isn't a necessity to bring home a medal or a plaque down in Omaha, but that's still the case here. You do have three or four events or three or four individuals that are in those top tens. Just your feeling on what it will take to maybe score some points without a lot of, as Coach Matheson would say, big hitters.
Well, and that's certainly the state meet in a nutshell. You know, you've got a girl from Bellevue West, Kina Kito, who is, she's number one in the 100, number one in the 200, number one in the 400. And I'm sure she's going to run a relay and make that relay one of the best in the state also. So you've got one person scoring, you know, about 40 points, and that's exceptional. To have to, you know, certainly come up with the points that we would have to equate to that, it's going to take a lot of our athletes to do that. We certainly have been very, very pleased with the season we've had, as you stated so eloquently, that, you know, we've gone through the season undefeated. We've conference champions, had a scoring record there, and then come through the districts and have 21 girls qualify and score 183 points in a district competition. You know, we're really pleased with what we've had certainly accomplished up to this point. And you get to the state meet, a lot of things can happen. We've got enough girls, I think, to cover enough events that we're going to be prepared to do our best. And if there are some spots that we're going to be able to fill in and perhaps approach a little higher place, we certainly have that capability. We're not done. You know, we like to think we're at our peak phase right now. The girls have certainly shown that in their performances. They've really improved in their marks. There's another saying in terms of the big hitters, it's not how fast you run, but it's when you run fast. And the state meets the time to do that. And you know, there are a lot of great marks out there, but that doesn't necessarily that all those marks are going to be met in that type of competition. So I'm very, very optimistic that we're going to have a great meet. And regardless if we're 10th in the state, 5th in the state, overall, 1st in the state, you know, we're going to do our best just to Kearney High and the city of Kearney proud, and we'll certainly do our best.
Yeah, Coach McFadden, that's a good point, because all you can ask is your athletes do as good as they can, and they've got some goals too. And some of those goals might just to get a medal, get a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. You're going to be doing that's going to be that goal, and if that student and that athlete can do that, you just hope some other events come in and you still a first. But you know, I'll tell you what, there's a big difference between getting first and second when you add those points up at a Class A state meet and trying to win it with a bunch of 4th, 5th, and 6th. But still, if that's as good as your athletes can do, hey, be happy when you place and you get something. And some of those girls need to be happy when they get done with that event. If that was as good as they could do and it was a personal best, then they competed well for you.
Absolutely. You know, I kind of liken it in terms of, you know, we just had our district competition and the hurdles was a really quite stacked event at our district. There were quite a few girls from Millard North that were good, Omaha Burke. And so you go into that and you see, well, there's three spots, you know, to qualify from. And we have some good hurdlers at Kearney High. And you just basically say you do the best you can. There are some, you know, extra spots that can be, you know, qualified if you don't make the top three. And sure enough, you know, we have two girls qualify in the 100 hurdles, and we have another girl qualify in the 300. Not because they placed in the top three, but because they ran their best times. They did the best they could, and now they're certainly being rewarded for that. So, yeah, we've been really big on that in terms of just making sure that we understand, you know, we have we can only control what we do. And if we're in the field of competition and we do our best, goodness sakes, we've shown that we're kind of hard to beat when that happens. So we'll enjoy the state meet and certainly come out of it better, and we're looking forward to it.
Last minute here with Kearney girls coach Pat McFadden. We'll let him get it back to his day. In your estimation, is it Bellevue West the team to beat with Aiken Otico, or how do you see the team race, and where do you think you guys can fit in, Pat?
Well, you know, I see certainly we're capable of being a top 10 team, and I'd like to see us in the top five for sure, too. I think we're capable of that. We have some, you know, pole vault goes well for us. We've got, you know, Macy Wick in the triple jump. She's really shown that she's, you know, can jump out there. And then we got a freshman, Daisy Mazur, who's really coming on in both the sprint events and in the long jump too. You know, there's some good news at Kearney High in terms of some individual athletes I think are going to place pretty high. But certainly Bellevue West, because of their sprinter, and then they've got a good high jumper there too. And I wouldn't discount Millard South. They've got some two of the best distance runners, the Spencer girl and the Summers girl. They're very, very good, and they've got a good thrower. You know, they could place up their high with those competitors. And Southwest is a good team again, and they've got some really good individuals. So. It's always interesting. There's surprises, and there are also some, you know, teams that predictably are going to do well just because of the number of individuals they have at the top spot. So, but hey, we're there to do our best too. So we'll see what happens.
And finally, this for the folks that don't know, this is a very young team. Out of all those girls you've got out, just a handful of seniors, and getting back to those state charts, Steph in the pole vault, Macy in the triple jump, and a couple of your relays are the ones that are in that top 10. Where do you see your team? Who's got that best chance at a gold? I don't want you to put somebody on the spot, but that's what we're going to ask you.
Well, you know, you said at 3,200 relay, you know, we haven't put our 3,200 relay together that's going to run at the state meet since the KU relays. And at the KU relays, we had a meet on Thursday, went to KU, went to Lawrence and put together that relay, and they had a day's rest. And then they compiled the whole meet into one day. You know, there was a lot of things you had to kind of adapt to real quickly, but they're really capable. We've got, you know, three girls that are right now running in 223, 222, 221 range. We've got another addition to that that I think can run, you know, in the 225, 26 mark. Goodness sakes, you put that together, that's in the 30s. So if you run in the 930s, you're going to be right up there. So, yeah, I would certainly look for that 3,200 relay to start off things. That's the first event of the meet. We have the morning session. And yeah, Steph Whitus, she's had a tremendous year. She's really coming on in the vault. She keeps improving. And her speed and her confidence, and she's getting used to the, you know, the new pole. That's always seems to be the pole vault. You're always making transitions as you get better and stronger. You get different poles to, you know, get the better vaults. So she's done a tremendous job of adapting to that. And I think, you know, big things can happen with her. Our 4x4 has been a relay that has really done a good job all year long, and I look forward to seeing that. It's the last event. So first event, last event, those everything sandwiched in between. Look out, here comes Kearney High.
Well, Pat, it's been a pretty good spring all around, so let's finish it out strong with the track teams this weekend, and we wish you guys the best of luck. Thanks for giving us some time here today on Doug and Daddy Show.
Gentlemen, I thank you for your time. Thank you.
Take care, Pat. Again, state track meet is going to start at 9 a.m., as he said, with that 32 relay right out of the gate on Friday. We need to take a break here. Got a couple more things to touch on as we'll wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Are the old prescriptions piling up? Is unused or expired medicine filling your cabinet? Leaving old medicine around can lead to accidental poisoning or illegal use by others, but you shouldn't just toss or flush it. Take your old or unwanted medicine to one of the following pharmacies for proper disposal: Hy-Vee, Medicap Pharmacy, ABC Drugs, Valley Pharmacy, and Svanda Health Mart in Ravenna. Visit NebraskaMeds.org to view the growing list of pharmacies that will properly dispose of your old or expired medications. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure and Buffalo County Community Partners.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Aurora Co-op in Minden is very proud supporter of all the Minden graduates of the class of 2015. Here is wishing you the brightest future and the greatest success in the years to come.
Berg Insurance is very proud of the graduating class of 2015 and wants to wish them all a bright, successful future in all they do. Berg Insurance is keeping you covered in Kennesaw for years. See them today for all your coverage needs.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, winding things down here. Sioux Falls, by the way, ended up winning the Clark Cup. They swept Muskegon, winning game 3-4-2. That was the team that ended the Tri-City Storms year. 8,178 fans at the Premier Center in Sioux Falls for Game 3, the second largest playoff crowd in the history of the league, and only the second fourth seed in USHL history to capture the Clark Cup. So there you go.
8,000.
That's a big
arena.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful facility from what I'm told. I haven't been there.
I've never been there, no.
Been to Sioux Falls, just not to the arena. This comes from our Dent Popper inbox. Ask Jim about the new basketball rules. Have you kept up to date that they're moving the shot clock down? They're extending the arc, making the arc bigger. I don't know how much you've paid attention to what's coming. And for the girls, the women, they're really close to making it 4 10-minute quarters instead of 2 halves in college basketball. And they're trying to get it close to the WNBA and kind of conform things up and down the line and get closer to the world rules and all that.
I guess I like the strategy of 4 quarters. I like the strategy because, you know, there's a little strategy as a player. You know, you're looking at the shot clock and going, hey, we can get a 2-for-1 right now at the end of the first quarter as well as just the half. You know what I mean? So there's a little strategy involved. So you're going to have 4 strategies using the horn. You're going to have some horns that are going to go off. You're going to have maybe some 50-foot shots attempted, yeah. You know, more than you are. And you're only going to have, you know, 2 of those in you know, when you only play 2 halves. So I like that. I'm not so sure how the shot clock. I never saw it was that big of a problem. I guess I like the idea that Princeton can knock off a Georgetown. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like that idea, and I'm thinking, well, why does Georgetown get the advantage all the time? Hey, you know, so it's fine. I mean, you could have the shot clock, but I don't know how fast we have to have it. I mean, when Kearney State College played, they could add a 15-second shot clock. We never used it. We shot it before we even got it, you know. So, yeah, but there is some interest there. I know what you're saying. And Loyola Marymount, you know, when they played, but I think it was Loyola Marymount was the team that would get beat like 180 to 140. I don't know what's so exciting about that. No, I'd watch an NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, so right. I like the strategy. So when he's asking me, I kind of like the shot clock where it was at. But if they want to take off 5 seconds, it's the same for both teams.
And I didn't realize this. I knew that the Royals honored the Negro Leagues yesterday and wore the old Monarch jerseys. But I did not know this part. They auctioned them off with all the proceeds going to the Negro Baseball League Museum. The Yankees, however, refused to participate. Just another reason to hate the Yankees.
Yeah, that's a good email, whoever wrote that, that's a good one right there. Why would they refuse to participate in that?
Yankees.
Well, Kansas City's got a great Negro Museum there. If you've seen that for baseball, have you guys both been to that or not? That is outstanding. Yes.
A couple other sports notes: Shatrice White, who played her basketball there at Shelby Rising City, now at Illinois. Her freshman year, she is going to be a member of the USA Basketball Under 19 national team that will travel to Spain this summer. 14 players are on that team, and our buddy Jack Gangwish, he just can't catch a break. Somebody stole his truck over the weekend. Legit. Somebody took his truck, and you know, not a 2015, you know, top of the line. This was a 96 Ford F-250.
They took
it. But that's Jack, isn't it? Got my old farm truck, no problem.
You know the trouble with that, though. How would you like? I mean, there's a lot of people. Not a lot. I guess I really haven't stole a lot of trucks, but my point is, if I had to take a truck. Yeah, I'm not going to take his. Hey, you know, I do. Have you seen him? I do not want to. I've seen him play football. He's not going to be very happy when he goes, "Hey, well, I thought it was mine." What excuse do I give him? That's going to be a bad scene when he gets a hold of me.
Let me just give you the details, and then in your mind, you can kind of come up with an easy story as to happened. Of course, you know, it's about a $4,000 value, they say. It was stolen between 8 p.m. Saturday and 7 a.m. Sunday. So either Jack was out with some friends or he never looked outside. The keys were left in the unlocked trunk. This says trunk. I'm guessing they misspelled that. It should have been truck. So his keys were left there. So if they were in the trunk, somebody knew about it.
Right.
But if they were just sitting there in the truck, it's Saturday night. He lives in the 1400 block.
Window down.
He's down there where a lot of college kids socialize. Mm-hmm. Somebody needed a ride home. Hey, there's trucks got keys. We can go home. Let's take this home. I bet they find it. I hope they find it, Jack.
Either that or somebody, one of his buddies just, you know.
Yeah, you got to hope.
Hit it about in somebody's garage for a day for a trick. But I don't know.
Well, there's no tricks of the trade at TNL Irrigation, where they continue to expand. You continue to get their great service. And TNL's newest item is the GPS Navigation Corner System. It's the ultimate in design simplicity. The package includes the base station, eliminating the need for a subscription. The system tracks multiple constellations, reducing the signal loss caused by tree lines and other obstacles that could mess that up for you. So there's no electronic interference from power lines. Operators can easily change the path of the system through a simple teach function. Users get track-on-track accuracy, pass after pass, fast startup time, and real-time diagnostics so that you can watch it work. Find out more about TNL's GPS Navigation Corner System from your local TNL dealer like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney or Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge. TNL Irrigation Systems, they are like no other. Well, we had a lot to talk about on this Monday, and I think we covered most of it. Hopefully we did. We've got a lot more coming up as the week continues. We'll be having some state golf pairings on Wednesday, let you know who the teams are getting in over the next couple of days. We'll look at state tennis, the official brackets and seeds come out later this afternoon. State soccer wrapping up. We'll continue to preview state track with some of the area coaches as well. Want to thank Greg Sharp, voice of the Huskers, for joining us today. Kearney High girls coach Pat McFadden for joining us. And Jimmy, glad to see you survive graduation, man.
Yeah, this will be an exciting 7 days of sports here and for high school sports, you know.
Legion baseball begins tonight. Any predictions?
Of course not.
Kearney Hastings at Memorial Field. Juniors at 5:30, seniors at 8 o'clock. Folks, have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.